Matthew. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all our hearts, be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. I don't know if you folks remember a columnist by the name of the Reverend Tom Harper. And I remember one of his columns where he had gone to church, and I think I know where. And unfortunately, the curate, so someone who'd been out in ministry for maybe about a year, was preaching on Trinity Sunday. And she tried to explain it. Tom Harper was quite scathing and disparaging. Taught me that you should never, ever try to explain the Trinity. So I'm not going to. I read a very good sermon, actually, from a teacher of mine when I was in seminary, and it was wonderful, but it wasn't mine. In last week's Star, a column writer wrote about a young man brought up in the church, but it began to seem to him meaningless. He couldn't believe in an all-loving, all-powerful God. And the same question is the question that many ask, why? What happens, you see, is that human beings confuse God's power with causation. If God's powerful, then he must have made things happen. Or if God's powerful, he could make things stop. And he could. And the question becomes, why would God let, fill in the blanks, why would God let poverty exist? Why would God have let people die of starvation all over the world? Why would God allow racism? Why wouldn't God make us all be good? That's the question. But that's not what it means to be an all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-loving God. At least, so it seems. Rather, God is one who allows the world to unfold, the universe to unfold. And remember, they're telling us the universe just keeps growing and growing and growing. And God means for us humans to find for ourselves a place of creativity and service. Well, let's consider the story that creation tells us. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb here for some of you who may not agree with me. Genesis, this group of stories, is a faith statement. I like to say it answers the question who, not the question how. Who created the heavens and the earth and everything in it? It's not meant to be scientific. The people who told these stories around the campfire, they had no understanding or knowledge of science. But nor is it meant to be theology for the same reason. The people who wrote these stories through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit were trying to understand the unknowable and tried to use words. And words are finite because they are human. Is it possible to imagine no plan, no time, no sound? But there is something. The story tells us about the face of the waters. Sometimes it's called chaos, or void, or the deep. But all have the same meaning. God fills the emptiness, brings order to chaos. The primordial soup, that water, that chaos, brings forth the creatures. For the ancients, emptiness, chaos, and the seas were frightening. God provides order. I was saying to Joanne, I always like to think about Star Trek, The Next Generation, where Captain Picard says to his number one, and he says, number one, make it so. I kind of think that that's how God kind of comes across in that story. The difficulty is for us that we think, and to a large extent have, tamed the seas, gone into the universe, either human or with machines, and we've discovered it's not empty, but it's full of stars and light, comets, debris from comets striking one another. And the universe is ever expanding. We believe what we can see, what we can find evidence for. We try to align the creation story with science. It does not work because they are two very separate things. We try to align it with geology and cosmology, and so I think it comes down to how we understand God. Is God the bearded old man who prepared the dry land with his hands, as it says in the Vanity? Is God in some way like us? And that's where it seems to me we get the order wrong. God says, let us make humankind in our image, not the other way around. Then people have come along and said, oh, see, we're like God, so then God's like us. No, that's not what it says. Not what it says at all. Is it truly possible for us to comprehend the vastness that is God? Everything we say about God comes through human finiteness. Now, if God is energy, spirit, mind, beyond human understanding, it is possible to see creation existing in the power that is God. The Bible creation story is presented as a powerful narrative of wonder and beauty, and all the good elements of a story. A refrain, and God saw that it was good. Building tension to that crisis point or climax where humans are created and the Sabbath is hallowed. It is not meant to be the definitive work on how the world came to be, but to move us to awe, to acknowledge, my God, how great thou art. Not, my God, how you intervene in human history and change us and make us do what you say. No, how great thou art. I'd like to think that God has given us mind and ability and the gift of the indwelling Holy Spirit to move us to make change, to be the loving people God wants us to be. I like to believe that we've seen in Jesus Christ the fullness of God that we can understand. And that fullness is one of love and service, and sacrifice. And God asks us to make it so. God asks us to make it so. So where there is sin of racism, or war, or hatred, God calls on us to change it, to bring that love that Jesus commands his disciples to have That's his commandment, to love one another as I have loved you. And God says, make it so. And now to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, be all honor, might, power, and dominion, now and forever. Amen.